as prepared as it'll ever, you know, as it gets, I guess. There's lots of war and destruction in the world, as always. But, you know, we'll try and balance it out. I noticed I was doing a lot of domestic news last week, or at least on Friday. So I'm going to try and talk about, you know what? Oh, no. My soundboard's missing. There it is. Hold on. Here it comes.
World news.
Yeah. Here we go. So, first up, there is despair in Beirut. Democracy Now! Published today, says as Beirut reels from massive explosion that killed at least 100 people and injured thousands, we get an on-the-ground update from pediatrician and writer Dr. Seema Jalani, who treated her own daughter for injuries after the blast. It was extremely packed because we're just coming out of a four-day lockdown, says Jalani. Everybody was out. Lebanon's Prime Minister Hassan Diab had called the explosion a national catastrophe. Now, there's a large interview that you can read if you want the full thing. But the chunk here is the explosion. This is Amy Goodwin. The explosion completely destroyed the port of Beirut, a main economic lifeline to Lebanon. The blast occurred at a time when Lebanon was already facing an economic, political, and public health crisis. And so it's pretty sad. I wish there was like a poignant short clip. But just say the end, it ends with this last thought is that we went to a hospital called Hotel Dieu de France, and we found utter chaos. They're going better under circumstances, and their circumstances include coming out of a revolution from September onward, which was then halted by the virus, which was then toppled by rising and looming economic failure, which is now leading to what I might describe, I'm not an analyst, but almost a failed state. So they're overworked and underfunded. And now we're coming into the season of bronchitis, flu, and none of which is detectable or can be differentiated from COVID. And so at hospital, you're seeing extreme trauma layers of trauma within the hospital staff. So it is definitely Monday. So I feel bad for Beirut. It is just a disaster area over there. Now, the Dissent magazine, I don't know if you know it or not, has a podcast. So I've read several of their stories, but they have one out about basic income. And so if you just as a heads up or as an aside, you know, check that out if you got the time for podcasts. I know after I listen to the Dubious Goals Committee, I usually turn my brain off for the end of the day, have a beer, and listen to some electronic beeps and boops, so I'm not as big into podcasts as I used to be. Anyway, let's keep on going. We got so much world news, we gotta get through it. So, let's go through. Sorry, I was on the wrong window. Jimmy Lai. Yeah, beers. Gotta get some Flanders region beers. Alright, so this comes to us from the BBC. Hong Kong business tycoon Jimmy Lai has been arrested along with other pro-democracy and media figures, raising fears of a broad crackdown by China. Mr. Lai's Apple Daily newspaper offices were raided on Monday over allegations of collusion with foreign forces. This case is the most high-profile arrest so far under a controversial security law imposed by China in June. We've covered lots of different stuff going on in Hong Kong, but this is the highest-profile guy. It's basically like if the president, the owner of the New York Times or something, got like had the police come and arrest him and marched him through the office. So it's very chilling stuff. It may be the end of the free press in Hong Kong. So, womp, womp, womp. Alright, and one other international story, and guess what? It's COVID-related. Surprise! The UK is reporting that their daily infection rate is passing 1,000. excuse me, passing 1,000 a day. So, that's no good. Let's see, do I got a better, do I got the full headline on that? Sorry, I have a song stuck in my head. And it won't go away. So let's talk about this story, and I'll play a different song, and hopefully it'll replace it. So the UK's daily number of new coronaviruses topped 1,000 for the first time in more than a month. So the government reported 1,062 more people had tested positive in the 24-hour period leading up to Sunday morning. This is the largest daily increase since late June. Banana cha-cha. Da-da-na. Yes. Do-la-na-na-na-na. Ooh. Yeah, it gets in my head. It's very frustrating. Usually I get 409 stuck in my head. Oh, it's a big greasy mess. But I'm not going to say the whole thing because that's a toe bit. So, just trust in the committee and its dubious goals. 1930. UTC. Oh, here's a France 24 article. I've accidentally bookmarked it as the mobile version, so the formatting's all crazy. But basically, French President Emmanuel Macron late Sunday denounced a cowardly attack on humanitarian workers in Niger and said he would do everything to shed light on the incident in which 8 people died. The French leader, who spoke with his Niger counterpart, Mahamadou Issoufou, added that he was determined to help counter the terrorist groups in the Sahel region. And so there were 8 people killed by gunmen on Sunday, and they were all French nationals. French! Big shout out. Got Calm bumping and jumping today. Calm is short for commode, and it is on the SDF. Just log in, type Calm, hit enter. Bam, you're jacked into the matrix. Hit the G and type in a non-radio. And then you're in, and you're hanging out with people like Exiled, Next One, SMJ, Tobe, Marcus, who needs a drink of water. There I am. So anyway, that does it for world news. There's so much going on. Palestinian education is another one. But, well, no, we're not doing it. But Salon does have a cool article on drinking, French drinking culture. And so if you want, if you'd like to drink your beer alone at home, quarantining in style, check out that article because it's pretty cool. It definitely made me feel fancy. And so I'll be fine drinking some liquor alone later. Oh, it sounds so weird saying it out. Saying it out loud. Sorry, I don't know why I'm clogged up. I guess it's because I haven't talked. I haven't spoken, like, at all. Here is a band called The Hunger, and the song is called Devil Thumbs a Ride. It's from the 90s, I think? Early 2000s? Yeah, that's right. It's from 1996. It's always hard to remember stuff from the 90s because, I mean, I was high most of the time. Oh, are my levels crazy bad? Is the music too loud or is my voice too quiet? Alright. Tom is reporting that the levels messed up. So I pumped up the mic gain and the other output. DJ Marcus. Yeah, it's daily news show, but we still got our Creative Commons Dance Electron shows. Alright, thanks for the feedback and comment. I think everything should be okay. Mix is supposed to normalize everything to level it all out, but you know, if it doesn't, you know, what? Yeah. Sorry, Hunger. You only get 2 to 3 minutes for a song. And so, that's all you get. So, let's get back. Let's talk about some domestic news. There is a lot going on. Not just coronavirus or Banana Cha-Cha. Banana Cha-Cha, if you don't know, is a worldwide phenomenon. So, check that out. Alright, so here we go. The first thing I wanted, and I had on the docket, was a story that Public Integrity has, and it had a headline that made me, like, grab it, and it's, White House warns 10 local areas about coronavirus numbers in private call. So the White House Coronavirus Task Force sees troubling coronavirus numbers in 10 local areas across the country, even as its data shows improvement in Sunbelt states, according to a private call between Task Force leader Deborah Birx and state and local officials Wednesday. We are seeing encouraging signs across the South, Birx said on a recording of the call obtained by Center for Public Integrity. We are concerned that both Baltimore and Atlanta remain at a very high level, also Kansas City, Portland, Omaha, and of course what we talked about in the Central Valley of California. Birx pointed to 4 additional cities that are doing relatively well, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, and Washington, D.C., and yet are seeing small increases. Oh no, what is, yeah, I don't know what I had to help. Tests, according, they're going to help, she said. COVID tests, according to White House data. Those areas need to get on top of it, she said. Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, Ohio, Tennessee, and Virginia are also concerning, Birx said. She continued to emphasize current outbreaks differed from those in the spring because they've penetrated more rural areas. Shout now. And don't? I don't know what's going on. Yeah, because I'm going to peek out my mic if I talk any louder. Sorry, guys. Where was I? Yeah, so just in general, what was interesting here is that Birx said on the private call that California and Nebraska had recently joined the red zone, and Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia had fallen out of it based on percentage of positive tests. Experts have said test positivity rates can indicate whether an outbreak is under control. Birx did not comment on schools, which the president has insisted must reopen. In a similar briefing 2 weeks ago, Birx warned 11 cities that they should take aggressive actions. So then, the most recent update, they updated this. I guess this story is from Friday. White House spokesman Judd Deere provided this comment on the call. The White House Coronavirus Task Force is providing tailored recommendations weekly to every governor and health commissioner for their states and counties. From the beginning, this has been a locally executed, state-managed, federally supported response. As locally, this is a freaking politician speak here. All right. So, sad news, but it's news. Does this make you feel better if I sniffle? Oh, yeah. Maybe is the mic on auto? I don't think it is. I don't think it has that setting in Mix. Let's go through. Let's play with the sound. Alright, Wave Dex color fader effects. Alright, we got effects. That's not useful. There's our interface. No, that's not what it's want. Here we go. Normalization. Apply replay gain. Target loudness. Alright. Let's boost this, I guess. It's currently at 18 LUFS. So let's see what happens if we do 16 LUFS. Okay, we're now at 16 LUFS. Is that better or worse? Alright, we're just going to keep doing the show. And sorry if it's quiet or loud. We're just trying to accommodate everybody. Okay, so here's some not COVID news that may or may not be fun to listen to, but it's still news to me. Maybe it's news to you too. Alright, so according to a National Low Income Housing Coalition report from Friday, 30 to 40 yeah, it's already boosted to DBs. Reanalyze. Okay, sorry. I was just trying to figure out if there was a setting I could make it better, but all right. Basically, to quote, well, to paraphrase Idiocracy, shit's fucked. So basically, there are 30 to 40 million people in the U.S. that are at risk. there are about 30 to 40 million people in the United States at risk of eviction. And this is going to disproportionately affect Black and Hispanic communities. And a lot of these things have expired or are expiring. And so that just means 30 or 40 people, 30 to 40 million people are expected to hit the bricks. Out of the people that are homeless, though, only a small percentage end up on the streets. A large percentage end up like couch surfing or doing something like camping somewhere. Or they find housing, but it's not their own permanent housing. All right, so it's pretty bad. The most neutral article sounds bad. It's basically that 46.8% of U.S. renter households spend more than 30% of the income on housing, and so it's just no bright spot there. What you gonna do when they come for you? Illinois has a pretty neat headline. Illinois has promised to infuse love in its juvenile justice system. So how do you infuse love in juvenile justice? Well, the state of Illinois says that a state plan focuses on moving incarcerated children from prison-like settings to dorm-like regional residential centers, described as a sea change. So last week, in announcing a plan to overhaul Illinois' juvenile justice system, state officials repeatedly used a term not often heard in discussions about criminal justice, love. At the root, children and families want us to infuse love in our policies and practices, Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, who leads the state's Justice, Equity, and Opportunity Initiative, said at a press conference. Somehow along the way, we have forgotten the power of love as it pertains to government and how we treat our children. That in part reflects why this plan is being described as a paradigm shift. It focuses on moving young people out of prison-like settings, far from their homes, and into dorm-like regional residential centers closer to family. So, gonna be interesting to see how Illinois does this, or if they follow through. A lot of these programs lose steam, and, you know, it just hurts your heart. It makes you sad whenever that happens, but, I mean, that's how it goes. I'm not going to ramble on about more domestic news because on a Monday, it's pretty much all a rehash of Friday. Screw the establishment and just listen to some Beatles. Please believe me. I'm thinking that when I get agitated, I talk louder. And then it sounds good. And then whenever I calm down, I get back quiet. So I'll just project more, or try to. Slag on the Beatles. Please believe me. I never let you down. The Beatles. Thank you. Believe me, darling. Believe me when I tell you. I'll never do you no harm.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Okay, so let's talk about some fun stuff and go through some headlines, because we've got about 5 minutes, and then it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee, and that is a fun time. Lots of business, especially kitty business. And it looks like Carrie Larry is in the house, but we're going to have some tunes after Tobe, too. So stay tuned. It's a packed hour, afternoon block. You can always sign up. Go to nonradio.net for more information about all that stuff. So let's talk cool news. Or let's talk tech headlines, you know. So there have been over 400 vulnerabilities identified in Qualcomm's Snapdragon chip. So this is important because there are 3 billion users globally, and smartphones are integral, almost inseparable part of our day-to-day lives. As the mobile market continues to grow, vendors... Basically, what happened is Checkpoint Software, the security research firm, did a project and found that more than 400 vulnerable pieces of code were found running on these chips, or running in these chips, and so attackers can turn the phone into spyware or render the phone unresponsive, and they can hide their activities. So there's a series of CVEs that are impacted with this. It's basically CVE 2020-11201 through 11209. So check those out if you want the details. Okay. I'm so tired. I did not sleep. I slept a couple hours, but I didn't sleep enough hours. Sorry, I ran out of gas. Ran out of gas. Can you believe it? All right. So, yeah, we're so close. So close to the end. Come on. I'm just going to tell you some headlines real quick. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to, but I did. I had some tikka masala. So I thought it would wake me up, but instead, now I'm sleepy. Let me just run through a couple quick headlines, and I'll play a song until I disappear. So, in Lebanon, that Beirut explosion, the justice minister has resigned, and the government, they say the government calls it quits. But basically what they're trying to say is that Hassan Diab announced the resignation of the government after more than a third of ministers quit their post, forcing him to resign also. And that was just after 9 months. So anyway, the government has kind of collapsed over there. I hope they get straightened up. Chuck Schumer said that that Trump did not call him asking him to start over. Trump continues to spout stuff like he's going to give people money, but he doesn't have the authority to do it. Just happened in Baltimore a couple minutes ago, about 30 minutes ago or so, just near Baltimore, a house blew up. It looks like a gas explosion. So I'm going to be following that for the afternoon. Be sure stocking. No, I won't make an old bay joke. But just anyway, thoughts for Baltimore. In Chicago, they had a bunch of unrest because a cop shot somebody, and then there were a bunch of riots and looting, and it's banana phone over there. Oh, and then North Carolina had an earthquake. So China's sanctioning more people, and it's just, it's wild, you know. Life's an adventure. Thanks so much for listening. I'm going to sleep so good tonight, and then it's going to be rad as hell tomorrow.
DJ Marcus.
Let's do the goodbye time sound. Cool. I turned ducking off, so maybe that was the problem.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. And every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with
Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one, begin transmission.
Or recorded.
It's 7:46 p.m.
Yeah, no. Inaccurate times call for inaccurate measures. The actual time is 19:30 UTC. And this is always the traditional starting time of the Dubious Goals Committee. Hello. Hello. Guten Morgen. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of this, the Dubious Goals Committee. And I gotta tell you, I'm a little fried today. I am down like a clown. So let's drink some tea. Oh, that's good. Oh, it's so delicious. One more. Yeah, I'm doing the Gingin May thing again. I needed to have the special healing effects of tea.